Hey, y'all, how we doing? Shout out to Bear Nation for tuning in for another episode of the Bear Necessities of Entrepreneurship, a podcast for the entrepreneur-minded, created by entrepreneurs, discussing the real stories that give you the tools to overcome challenges and stay true to your real self. As always, I want to give a shout out to our partners over at Finn. Finn is a social good platform that creates employee engagement and builds culture. We've teamed up with Finn to give back to the communities that we serve. For every episode, we will be donating $10 to the cause of choosing by our guest in the Finn platform. Enjoy today's episode. Hi, y'all. We're back here again for another episode of the Bear Necessities of Entrepreneurship podcast. Today, I have an amazing guest with me, the CEO and co-founder of Lunch Buddies, Luisa El Bouyahani. I said it almost right. Hey, I was practicing that like last night for quite a while to make sure I had the right inflection points. Luisa is based out of Frankfurt, Germany. As I said, co-founder of Lunch Buddies. She is a communication designer passionate about topics such as branding, design, culture, communication, and how analog but also virtual spaces and interfaces can be designed to foster an exchange and interaction. And when we think about this as that kind of overview, you'll understand from her background that she has a huge passion for creating experiences with people. And that's what Lunch Buddies is all about. So without further ado, Luisa, say hi to Bear Nation for me.
Hi, everyone, of course. And thank you for having me, Rob. I'm really excited to be here today.
Absolutely. And we're excited to have you on. And, you know, I met Luisa when you came to New York. Was it 2020.
It was January to February 2020.
That's right. Right before I left for Italy, before everything went crazy. Oh man, it feels like a lot longer. Obviously 2020 felt like a long year.
Yeah.
But I had a chance to meet Luisa and sit down and talk with her and her co-founder, which also happens to be her brother, Dr. Tarek, which we'll get into a little bit. So tell me, let's start out with this, right? Lunch Buddies is a really cool product that you've created. Let's start with that. Let's start with the journey of Lunch Buddies, and then we'll get into your entrepreneurship journey and how all this happened. So why don't you give us the high-level overview of what is Lubu or Lunch Buddies?
Sure. So how did we start with Lubu? I think it's important to know maybe a little bit about our background story. Just like you said, I co-founded with my brother, and a lot of people say, oh my God, how can you do that? But for me, it's just really great because we grew up in a family where just exchange and, you know, doing things together was very important, and especially eating together. It was always this highlight where even today when we're visiting our parents, they're asking us, oh, you're not staying for lunch, because it was always this nice part of the day where we could sit together and just talk and exchange. And so this was always very important to us. So one day Tali came to me and said, hey, I was at university and I wanted to meet with someone for coffee or lunch, but I didn't know who was around. Why is there actually no tool? And so this is actually where everything just started, from a very small idea of bringing people together. We very soon realized that there is a huge, huge problem, not only in the B2C area, but actually in the B2B area. Yeah. So a lot of companies struggle with collaboration and keeping their employees connected. Silo thinking is a real thing. And yeah. So we have developed Lubu into an app that is meant for B2B. So basically, creating a platform that brings people digitally or connects people digitally, but makes offline meetings happen in a very smart and very easy way without chatting and things like that, that just actually sometimes hinder you from meeting someone. We have built up our MVP and we had a long journey to get there. So we had quite a few challenges, especially on the IT side, because neither Tarek, my brother, nor I have any expertise in developing. But we had this huge idea and we thought that's great. So we came up with screens and mockups and everything, but we had no idea how to actually make this an app. So we had quite a few challenges to get there, but we finally met Dennis, our developer, who helped us to create an MVP, and we tested it out with our first partner, and we were trying to connect coworkers And then the pandemic hit, and we had to rethink basically everything that we were doing, because meeting for coffee and lunch wasn't a thing anymore.
Yeah.
So that was a very exciting journey.
Yeah. So we'll definitely get into that. So, you know, I think it was an interesting story of, you know, for you growing up, your family was really big on sharing the meal together, right? So enjoying that time. And I get that. I mean, my family is big on sharing a meal together too, but I grew up with a twin and two younger brothers. So sharing a meal meant, you know, who can eat the fastest to get more food. Because once the food hit the table, it was open game. It was open game. Then we would hang out and like relax after everyone, you know, scarfed down. But that kind of influence, that influence of your family and the influence of a meal had a big influence on, well, one, you and your brother working together, but two, this idea of, you know, your brother goes off to university and wants to meet people and find a way to connect with others in a very stress-free, delightful environment over sharing a cup of coffee or sharing a lunch, which I think, you know, it's really interesting because for some people sharing a meal is not a thing. And so I think there's this beautiful piece to sharing a meal together.
Yeah, I mean, what we have realized is that it's not really about sharing a meal together at the end of the day. I have connected with so many people for a coffee, or nowadays a virtual coffee. And at the end of the day, we didn't even drink a coffee, but we were just exchanging. And this is really the essence of what we really want to accomplish with that. Just getting, fostering exchange, really, over a very spontaneous and or in a very spontaneous way.
Yeah. Well, I think too, it's you're more likely to sit down and exchange with somebody when there's coffee or food involved, because it gives you something to do in the exchanging process. That's not like, hey, Luisa, let's just sit down and exchange together. We've never met each other, and let's just have an exchange. You know what I mean? Like, but there's something that about that cup of coffee or something that I think really ties the loops. So, you know, your brother had this idea of coming back from university. Tell me a little bit. You know, you mentioned this, that you love working with your brother. What was that like? I mean, has there been, you know, problems? Has it been scary working with your brother? What's that like working with your brother 24/7 on building a brand new business from scratch?
I mean, I think it has way more advantages than it has disadvantages in our case, at the very least, because I think there are so many things that are just 100% clear from the beginning on. So we never had any kinds of, and I know that there are families where this might be a problem, but for us, there were no problems in terms of trust. We know that we can trust each other 100%. Mm-hmm. And it also helped us to develop the idea and the philosophy of Lubu, only because we were together so often, right? We were seeing each other and we were having those informal chats all the time. So we didn't meet for business meetings, but here and there, when I was still living at home and Tali came home, we were talking about it, or it was just very natural that we were exchanging about the topic so often. Again, we are trusting each other a lot. And sometimes when you're talking to somebody and somebody says something, then sometimes you don't really know what they exactly mean with that. Yeah. Or sometimes when they don't say something, you don't necessarily know what they mean with that. But for us, since we grew up together and we always had a very strong bond, you know exactly what that person means and what they think about and how they think. And I think one very interesting thing too is that we come from two different backgrounds, more or less, when it comes to educational backgrounds. So I'm more from the communication design part, and Tag is more in from the area of management. So we bring in a very complementary expertises, and that made it great as well to just you know, work together, no matter if we are siblings or not. But I think it, I mean, of course, there are also times where you are just annoyed, but that's normal. And even if I would not be founding a startup with my brother, then I would be sometimes annoyed and he would be sometimes annoyed. But yeah, I think for us, it has been great so far. So I would always do it again.
Love to hear it. I mean, I used to work my dad was my manager when I was high school, and it wasn't always easy. And, you know, I remember him teaching me this lesson early, that when we're at work, we're at work, and when we're at home, we're at home. Meaning if he yells at me at work, it's because I did something wrong at work, and not to hold that at home and be like, why did you yell at me at work today? Well, you messed up. Like, we're home. We're like, this is over. It's done with. Like, and not yelling, but like, you know, when I mess up or do something wrong. And so, you know, I learned really early how to like manage that. Not many people do, even today. You know, it's not easy to manage relationships of like what's business and what's personal, because they're so intertwined. Do you and Tarek ever deal with, do you know where those lines are of like business versus personal, and like when things happen with the business that it doesn't bleed into your personal life? Or is that something that sometimes you have to like really work on handling those conversations since you spend so much time together being family?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we're still in the process of really having this separated completely. I think for right now, it's quite fluid still. And because our family is also super interested in what we're doing and what we're building, we're basically always somehow surrounded by the topic of Lubu. And it is quite difficult to just say, okay, today we're not talking about it at all. Yeah. And yeah, it's at the moment still quite fluid. And I think that it helps to just separate the two a bit more. And yeah. I think that we're also working on that and say, okay, when we're at the office, then we're definitely in Lubu mode. Yeah. And when we're at home, then yes, we can talk about it, but this is not where any big decisions are being made or so.
Yeah, I can only imagine, you know, the two of you getting in a disagreement per se, and you're home with your parents. Your parents are like, let's enjoy a meal, and the two of you are just trying to like not be mad at each other and have a conversation with your parents. But it sounds like that fluidity is there, and I think that's a really smart thing. And one thing I talk with entrepreneurs a lot about business relationships, if you're looking to get a co-founder, etc., is lay out and set expectations very early. And one of the things that my business partner, Happy Day, Phil and I did is we sat down and like laid out like who owned what. And sometimes, you know, you don't always know who is going to own what, but you kind of have these ideas. And so anything that kind of fell into the marketing realm was kind of Rob's domain. Anything that kind of fell into operations was Phil's domain. We had all these different things. And that allowed us to be able to kind of come back to terms like if, hey, there was like a big conversation that were happening and we didn't know where the decision needed to be laid, we can like, hey, let's pause. Phil, that's in your domain. Whatever you're going to want to do, I got your back. And you kind of take that step back. Because when Phil and I met, we used to this thing where one time we went out, my wife and I, maybe we were just fiancé at the time, but him and his other girlfriend at the time, we went out to a dinner cruise, like a lobster roll cruise on the river in New York. And, you know, you're going down this cruise. It's beautiful. You got New York skyline everywhere. And we spent that whole cruise, the 2.5 hours, talking business. Like, just, like basically ignoring the fact that we were on a double date and just talking business. And, like, every time we got together, it was like that. So we, when we started working together, we had to say, hey, you know, at times that we need to, like, pull back from the business conversations and enjoy those that were around. Similar to you, like, you and your family meals. Like, sometimes you kind of step back and say, hey, all right, we're at home. Mom and Dad here. Like, let's be present with them. And it's tough because, of course, they're interested. How's Lubu going? So I feel you. And it's really awesome that you and Tarek are kind of working through that. And that's the thing about working with family, right? You know, it's hard to find those lines sometimes because they are family. And, you know, obviously you and your brother are pretty close. And so a lot to kind of work through. But I think it's amazing that you two have found a way to work well together and drive that forward. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about your journey, right? So your background is in communication and design. You know, you've worked as a freelance designer. You did some projects, school and internships in governance and finance and health. Tell me a little about your journey. Did you always want to be an entrepreneur? Did you know this was your path? Is it because Tarek came to you and was like, hey, I have this idea? Like, what did you envision for you? And it's okay if it's an entrepreneurship. What did you envision for yourself when you were off to university versus what you're doing now?
Yeah, so when I finished my school, there were actually two options for me because I knew that I liked, you know, teaching and learning stuff. So A, I wanted to become a teacher. Or B, because I was always into creativity and just art and design, I thought, okay, I can become a designer. And somehow I just really listened to what do I feel like I want to become most. And it just was more attractive to me to become a designer because I was just so interested in that field. And I just felt like this is what I'm really passionate about. Without thinking about where am I going to end up at? Am I going to work in an agency or am I going to be somehow a freelancer or whatever, right? So even that options, those two options, becoming a teacher and becoming a designer, would have also just or could have already decided my path a little bit, because being a teacher, it's you can become an entrepreneur, of course, but it's not really the most obvious thing. Yeah. Or becoming a freelancer. And but I didn't really think about that. And then during my studies, I actually met my best friend, and she was self-employed during her studies because she had to earn the money while studying to actually pay the university. And she was self-employed. She was working as a freelancer, and she always made it look so simple and so easy. And it just totally take away the fear that I had, because I also come from a family where it wasn't a thing being self-employed. My dad, for example, he's working on a lot of projects on his own and he's very passionate about it. But my parents, they were always, you know, just having, I would say, more traditional careers. And I didn't grow up in a way, you know, looking at somebody who was a freelancer or self-employed. So I really started learning that from my best friend. And when I was during my studies, I would say in the mid of my university time, she told me, hey, why don't you just try and use the skills that you already have and start working for people? And that's actually what I did, because I also wanted to find out how is it to work for people out there, because what we're doing at university is actually quite free and maybe a little abstract too. But how is it to really work hands-on on projects for real people and real companies? So that's what I did. I started working for my own small clients during my studies. And this is how I could already, just look into how is it to be a freelancer. Yeah. And at the end of my studies, then Tarek had the idea, or the very first, very first idea about Lubu. And so it just went very naturally. By the end of the studies, I was already involved into the first ideas of Lubu. And of course, as a small startup, being bootstrapped, it was important having an income, but having it in a way that you can really decide in a very flexible way about your time. So that's why it was very clear to me that after my studies, I'm going to be a freelancer and do my design projects, because this is something that I will always be very passionate about.
Yeah.
And then also work on Lubu and just become an entrepreneur in that field. And somehow I'm also a teacher now, so that's really great, because I'm also mentoring entrepreneurs in the fields of branding and design. And I think this is the best combination I could have ever thought about, which I didn't think about before, but now I can teach them about things that I'm very passionate about. Or try to share some knowledge, not necessarily teach them, but try to share some tips and tricks and try to help them in those fields. So I think, yeah, this is really how I became an entrepreneur. Yeah. And how I stumbled into being self-employed and being a freelancer.
That's amazing. I mean, it's kind of interesting, because we all have that one friend that makes either entrepreneurship or freelance look easy. And then you get into like, this shit is hard. And I think it's really interesting that it's like, hey, freelance is a chance for you to make some money, to go into your passion, to practice, to learn. You had, you know, an amazing best friend who helped get you into this idea of, hey, I could work for myself, because that's not your family background. Like, that's not, you didn't grow up in a family of entrepreneurs. Like, hey, you're going to start your own business. Like, no, I'm going to go work and do my career thing. And one thing I love, in part of the Bear Nation, we love nonlinear career paths. And those that listen to the show regularly kind of know my story. And it's all over the place. I fell into entrepreneurship through going to a master's degree, which I never have done if I hadn't met my now wife, and like all these different things. And funny enough, one of the first jobs I ever remember wanting to do was actually be a history teacher. I love history and I love teaching, but I can never remember the damn dates. Like, I knew the sort of the dates, but I can never remember like the actual dates and events. And like, but I love history. And as I get older and as I look at my career moving forward, one of the things that I am doing now, I got to teach and develop or design a whole 3-week entrepreneurship course. And I'm in talks with a few universities in Milan, Barcelona, Rome, here in the States to go teach a 2-week entrepreneurship class mm-hmm. that I develop and build. And like, that's what I want to do. I want to be a traveling professor later. So I have that same thing, but it's like, I never, like, that was kind of one of those things I wanted to do first, one of my first options. But then it's like, I watched Mad Men, fell in love with Dom Draper, wanted to get the advertising and it's sales, the marketing. It's like, the thing is, this arc of your career doesn't have to be linear. And if you are passionate about something, those passions will come out and opportunities will arise for you to live those passions. And it's like, freelance started this idea that I could work for myself. Then Tarek has this great idea to start a business. I'm going to do both, which has led me into teaching, and it's come full circle. And that to me is like what I love about choosing to live a passion, right? Choosing to create business around a passion. So I want to get into, you know, originally the company was called Lunch Buddies. It's now Lubu. Tell me a little bit the idea behind the name and the pivot. And, you know, we were talking pre-show that you've had to pivot a little bit pandemic, and you mentioned that early. So let's talk about, you know, your entrepreneurial journey to today. 2020 was tough for a designing spontaneous in-person experiences. So tell me a little about the name, the change, the pivot, and kind of where does Lubu go from here? In a, you know, because I know future of work is a very big conversation at Lubu. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So starting with the name, actually, we're called Lubu, but Lubu is just a short term of Lunch Buddies. And it just naturally happened that everybody was starting to call us Lunch Buddies. So, hey, there seems Team Lunch Buddy or Lunch Buddies, or it just happened like that. But what we have realized, which is also something that Tyke and I are talking about a lot lately, is that with all the experience that we could gather while testing out our product, we felt like a lot of people really want to meet other people and want to connect. But most of the time, it's not necessarily about the lunch. It's rather a coffee match. So we were thinking, does Lunch Buddy is still the right name for us? But at the same time, I think Lunch Buddies just embodies this idea of people who like to be with each other. So we still like that name a lot, but we also try to refer to Lubu a bit more often because it's more, you don't necessarily think about something directly when you hear it. And that makes it easier for us to also just position our product at the moment. What happened was that we were working so much on Lubu, the product itself, and we had the prototype and the MVP ready. We were testing it out. We were getting good, but also some feedback that just helped us to really rethink a few things that we had in the app already, right? Because not everything that we were thinking about was necessarily needed by the user, and not everything that we've implemented was necessarily intuitively understood by the user. So we had a few tasks in our list, still, we had this great pilot ahead of us with a bank in Germany, and we were thinking, yes, that's great. We were planning it, and we're just out of our pilot with this co-working space here, and it was really great. And then the pandemic hit, and we were thinking, okay, so what are we doing now? Everybody's at home, and nobody's going to meet for coffee or lunch. So what are we doing now? As bad as the situation was for us, especially in the moment, it just really forced us to think about Lubu again and think about, okay, what are we really offering with our product? And looking at the time right now and also the future, how is our product still going to be beneficial for people? Mm-hmm. So we quickly realized that what we are trying to do with our solution is just create spontaneous moments where people can connect and come together and exchange. And what does that mean when people exchange? This fosters collaboration, innovation, just finding synergies together. And you know, pioneer companies like Google or Apple, they have their campus designed in a way that people just bump into each other all the time because of the spaces that they have. Mm-hmm. And other companies as well. But these companies have understood that this serendipity casual collision moment so well that we were thinking about, okay, how can Lubu actually, or how can we at Lubu rethink and redesign space where not only in the pandemic, we are also separated and feel isolated and are not connected anymore, but actually thinking about the future of work, we will be working more remotely. We will be working more in hybrid settings. So when I'm at home and I'm walking to the kitchen, I'm more than likely not going to bump into my colleague. I mean, that's great. But if I want to, and if I want to exchange with someone, why is there no virtual space, like a virtual cafe where people can actually spontaneously bump into each other, no matter where they are based, no matter where they are working from, and just really start talking and have those meaningful exchanges again. And this is basically what we did. So we were rethinking, redesigning Lubu a little bit in a way that we are now providing a virtual space for employees or coworkers or even students to just meet each other again, no matter where they are, if they are located at different offices, different countries, and so on. And of course, we still want to make offline meetings happen again, but in a more smart way. So if I'm in the office in the future, I'm not going to know necessarily who's also going to be there. So Lubu can also help with that. But what we have found out is that the talk is so huge about culture at the moment, because people really understand the importance of it right now, where culture is suffering so much. Mm-hmm. And culture is something that is so difficult to measure. So what we're trying to do is finding parameters that actually can measure how your culture develops, at what stage it is, and what an impact connectivity actually has on your company culture. So this is something that we are very excited about just developing right now, and just delivering some smart insights about this whole topic that to some people seems very wishy-washy still, but it's extremely, extremely important and just gains so much more importance in the future.
No, I think that's very interesting, because, you know, we only think about culture, we think about employee engagement and how we measure all these things, and it's, you know, it used to be you take a little customer survey that no one's actually going to talk about. So how do you leverage what this conversation looks like? And I love going back to the name Lubu. I love the name Lubu because it kind of ties a lot of things together. Also, when you look at L-U-B-U and like the design of your brand or on an app, it's really easy and clean and understandable. Because I always think about, you know, lunch buddies, and I love the idea of the spontaneous connection, but I'm always going to rather do a coffee. Why? Because even if we're going to exchange and have spontaneous connection, maybe we don't vibe enough to go sit for an hour over a meal. It's like 20 minutes over a coffee is enough to get to know somebody, vibe, share some things, and then move on to the next. So, you know, for me, that kind of like, I like the idea of lunch buddies and the story behind it, but at Lubu kind of feels a little bit more like, you know, fluid. I'm going to meet somebody. There just has that sense of kind of connection with it. So I love that. And I love what you're kind of doing with the pivot. And I think it's really important because, you know, as things continue to just go global, you don't know, we don't know what we don't know, but we know that the future of work is going to change. And so being able to have opportunity to connect, collaborate, and engage in a very smart and spontaneous way that creates those moments is where innovation, ideas, friendships happen at the office. And I think that's, you know, really important, especially and on campus too. I like the idea of looking at college campuses, especially in the US, and these big campuses, yes, they're designed to meet people, but because campus is so big or because the way it's designed, you're not going to meet everybody or meet people that you want to meet, and you get siloed. And so you need to have this ability to, you know, cross pollinate and get to meet new people within an organization or a school or a campus. So it's exciting stuff.
Absolutely. I think one very important pillar for us is also just looking at how self-determined we're going to work in the future. So instead of, you know, sending you a random message saying, hey, why don't you meet with person X, Y, and Z? We're basically letting the user decide who you want to meet and why you want to meet that person today, because we found out that, of course, we can offer a smart matching and see, oh, you have overlapping skills. You must understand each other very well or vibe very well. But At the end of the day, sometimes I might need someone with contrary skills because I need to solve a solution. And this is only something that I can know. So the solution that we provide can actually only show you as many parameters as possible to show you the skills, the interests, what the person is looking for, and let you decide what you want to make out of this today. So really having those spontaneous moments to meet, but also spontaneous occasions on when you actually need someone for what, to let the user decide that, that's something that we're really big on at Lubu as well.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm excited about this. I think this is really cool, especially because a B2B solution versus like a B2C matching, because you know there's like what, something like 1.96 million apps on the app store, right? Fighting for time and attention. You have things like, you know, even like companies like Bumble got into Bumble Biz and Bumble Friendships, so a dating app into business relationships into friendships and all these things. And so when we think about where Lubu is going, how do you think that you're going to stand out for people's time and attention in this future of work, in an app-based world where there's, we all have hundreds on our phone and actually being able to use it? And what does that look like in the future of Lubu?
Yeah, I think for now we're really trying to be as seamless as possible to make it easy for organizations to actually use Lubu. So right now we're still an app, but we're trying to be, to offer a solution that is more seamless for organizations to get in touch with us and to actually also use use Lubu. And what I think makes us stand out is really as I mentioned before, the whole pandemic really forced us to refocus and to think about what is going to happen in the future and how can we really build a tool that is going to fit the needs of the future. So I think that this is something that we have put so much work and ideas and just concept into it that we can now say that we think that we are a really, really good solution that for new work organizations and for the future of work. And I think one thing that we are already doing right now, but what we want to do way more and that we are working on right now and very excited about is the whole data behind it. So the whole analytics dashboard that we are basically building up right now, because only those smart insights can then let us also know how can we develop our product further and what are actually the problems within organizations. And to make this visible and measurable makes it also more tangible for people to use us, to use Lubu, to just, get insights into how is my culture like and what kind of data can I actually read out of it to improve whatever it is that I want to improve. So I think those are two things that, make us unique and can be very helpful for organizations using Lubu.
Absolutely. And when organizations use it or offer it as a tool and a connection point, it's more likely to be used by the end consumer getting on your app and using Lubu because it helps the organization stuff. I do think though too that the winning piece is that in that data and analytics and how it helps. But you talk about making this more seamless. So in that regard, if I'm not mistaken, when we talk on pre-show, you've got some integrations and some things that you're thinking about putting together. How does that become more seamless in a company's culture? Is it through like integrating into like a Slack channel? Is it through integrating into an email, into their employee dashboard? What does that seamless experience kind of look like? Or what are some of the ideation stages that you're at working with, maybe piloting with some businesses?
Yeah, so we were talking to a lot of businesses and what they were saying, some of them were really open to use just another app and pitching it to the people who are responsible for that at their companies. Mm-hmm. But a lot of companies and businesses were saying that they would love to have it in a more seamless way. So integrating Lubu into already existing frameworks like a Slack, like a Microsoft Teams, things like that, that just with one click, you can write a chat message to some of your colleagues and you can start a call or whatever. But also with one click, you can enter the Lubu Cafe and just can meet people. So it's basically all happening within one framework, which gives us a lot of new opportunities to actually show Lubu as a new space. But also, gives the company an opportunity to integrate Lubu in a more seamless and easy way and also make it adaptable, a bit easier adaptable for the whole company and the employees and the decision makers in the company.
Awesome. You know, I think that's super intriguing to see what's going to happen with that. And I know you've got some of the, you know, conversations and pilots going. So it's really exciting to see and hear. You know, when we look at 2021, the back half of this year, we look at 2022 to go into, what are some of those, what are some key goals that you and Tarek have on your plate of these are things that we want to accomplish by the end of 2021 going into 2022 as a business?
Mm-hmm. So of course, testing out our software as much as possible, finding people and companies and businesses who like the concept, who stand behind that, who are maybe pioneers in that area, who know how important culture is and who understand the new ways of working and say, I would like to try it out. I would like to try out a pilot or maybe have the chance to co-create it with us. And because I think coming from so many expertises, for example, Tarek's background is he made his doctor in organizational learning. Mm-hmm. So he knows a lot about how to assess culture within a company and, you know, a lot of things like that that are super interesting. So we would like to go over all of those things with companies and just really learn more about what is happening right now and how can we adapt and adjust our solution to be a great fit or an even better fit. So this is something that we're always doing and always looking for, just partners and people who are willing to try it out. And people, and also of course clients, and we are still a very small team. So our core team is three people. So of course we are looking to, especially looking at 2022, to expand the team a little bit, to get a bit bigger, to hire a talent. That would be great to just have a few more people on board and just have more resources and more expertise on board. That would be great. But all in all, just developing the product and working with great people, I guess.
Awesome. Yeah. So the, you know, really looking at piloting as much as possible and taking that data, growing the team for early next year, and really figuring out how to take this to the next level in terms of scaling out. And so what markets are you currently testing in? I know you were here in the US for a little bit having some conversations. You obviously got some tests going on in Germany. Are there other markets that you're working in? Are you testing in, or what's that look like from where Lubu can be found type of thing?
Yeah, so the reason why we actually went to the US last year was that we wanted to explore the partnership we had with the co-working space a little further. And also just the whole understanding of networking is, I would say, in my opinion, a bit different in the US than it is over here in Germany. So in Germany, a lot of people are still thinking, oh, I hate networking. It's just people throwing around their business cards and it's not natural and all that. But when I came to the US, it was so refreshing seeing how open people were with their network. And this is actually how we met. You know, somebody was recommending that we get in touch, and it was within a day that we actually exchanged emails, and that was so refreshing and great. And this mentality, of course, also helps adopting a solution like Lubu. So the US market is extremely interesting for us, and this is why we're also exploring that. We recently also were in contact with an accelerator program that thought that Lubu would be a great fit for the Indian market. So we are just trying to look outside of Germany. What would be our next great market to look into? Because we are a digital product, it is quite easy for us to also launch abroad. So we are not only limited to Germany or Europe only. I think there are great opportunities also abroad.
Amazing. Yeah. And that's really cool to hear too, that you've got some different conversations ongoing, and the accelerator I think would be great. I love, one of the things that, you know, when I was in Europe and living in Milan for 2 years, you know, I was the student who every speaker professor came in, adding him on LinkedIn, walking up after class, thanking them for their time, asking him to go grab a coffee so I could ask him a few follow-up questions, and like building that global network. And that was something that like everyone else was like, who is this American guy? Why are you doing this? Like, because, and you know what? When I came to New York, and now I sit here 5 years, 6 years later, it's all paid off in a big way. And so anyone out there listening, wherever you're from, because we have, you know, listeners from 34 countries tuning in, do not underestimate the power of a network. You know, there is a saying that is your network is your net worth. If you don't understand that, that those in your community and you build those networks and you can lean on those and create connection paths, you won't understand what you can actually accomplish with your life, your business, and your goals. So I love that you brought that up, and I want to just highlight that from a big picture. So Lisa, we're in the back half of the show. So we're going to ask the final questions that I always like to ask if you ever listen to this show, because I think it's really great advice and key takeaways. And I really loved hearing your story, and I have like a million more questions. And I think one of these days I'll have to bring you and Tarek back on and get the brother-sister dynamic going on a conversation. Maybe I'll bring my twin brother in and you can figure out which one of us is who. We can have a conversation back and forth. So, you know, being a millennial entrepreneur yourself and going through this, what advice would you give a millennial entrepreneur, a Gen Z entrepreneur, or anyone who's entrepreneurial-minded thinking about getting into entrepreneurship?
So since we were talking about network, I think this is a tip that I would give them. A lot of entrepreneurs are thinking about their products and services quite a lot, and they put so much focus on that. But I think what you really cannot underestimate is the power of networks. Just like you said, that for us, it was so helpful just pitching our idea and getting in contact with people, no matter if it was also other entrepreneurs, senior entrepreneurs, if it were potential mentors, investors, just supporters, to just really get feedback from them. And, you know, having those people in your network can help you so much to just, you know, throw your idea out there and just see how they react, get feedback, and also growing your network in a way that maybe someday you have a problem, but you don't know how to solve it, but you remember that you met someone somewhere, so you know that you can ask that person, and that person will actually help you solve the problem. So it's sometimes just knowing about the right person to solve a problem that you have, or sometimes being the person that can help somebody from your network to solve the problem. So I think my tip would be also focus on just growing your network with people that can be beneficial for you, that you can be beneficial for, but also just to exchange with them, no matter if there is something that you can get out of the conversation or not, just be open and just be generous with what you can give to them as well.
I love that last piece. Be generous with what you can give to others. You know, especially when I lived in Europe, I would send a connection request. I still do this. I send a connection request to people that I think would be amazing to have in my network that I've never met my entire life. And I talk with Europeans and they're like, you do what? Why would you ever connect with somebody that you don't know? Why do you follow an athlete's Instagram page? You never met that athlete because you want to consume their content. And when you start thinking like that and thinking like in terms of building your network and then being generous with your time, the flip side, I set aside a certain amount of time each week to set up calls with people that ask with no, that don't mean this revenue, anything. It's advice, it's mentoring, it's coaching, it's whatever. And it's just free conversation, because the amount of things that I learn about myself, I learn about the market, the connections I make, the connections I pass, all turn into amazing things that come back tenfold. And so go connect with people. If you think that they could be beneficial to you, connect them. Who cares if you don't know them? Connect with them, see if you can't talk to them. I love that. And then be generous. Be generous with your time. Such an important lesson.
And just don't also go into connecting with people with the intention of, oh, I need to get something out of this, or he needs to be, or she needs to be a door opener for me. No, just exchange with them. Sometimes maybe nothing will happen, but sometimes 3 years from now, you will just stumble upon that person again on your LinkedIn feed or whatever, and there will be a very interesting point that you can both exchange on or so. So it's just really about being open and just engaging with people and just appreciating those people and also their time, and just, again, being generous with your time, being generous with the tips and tricks that you can maybe give them. And as you also said, I really, really think that this is a great point. You learn so much about yourself. When you see people asking you for advice, you learn about what you're actually good at. Mm-hmm. Where do people need your feedback on? And this gives you so much, not only being able to help, but also to just personally or career-wise, maybe also from a business perspective, grow.
Yeah. we always look at networking as an instant ROI, and networking is not instant ROI. It's lifetime value. Like from a business perspective, networking is lifetime value. The LTV of your network is huge. I love that. What's a book, resource, show, or piece of content you would recommend right now?
Probably not that surprising. Never Eat Alone by Keith Ferrazzi. And he's also talking about why networking, in a way that we're talking about it too, you know, the whole generosity aspect and all of it is so important, and why this is basically a fundament for growing personally, but also in your business life, or even being successful if you want to
love
think about that. Yeah.
I'm going to have to put that on my list. The reason why I always ask this question is that I want my reading list to get long. The problem is that I've been getting so many great advice books that my reading list is now longer than I ever thought it was going to be. So I got some work to do. What do you think your superpower is? I love asking people this. What is your superpower, Lisa?
I think that's a very difficult question, to be quite honest. But I think my superpower is pretty much linked to my passion as well. So just transforming ideas into visual concepts, and either it's for our own project or our own startup like Lulu, where we have to rethink and redesign space, but also just guiding creators like entrepreneurs or startups to really help them bring this sometimes abstract idea into very cohesive visual concepts. I think this is where I'm good at and where I really find my passion in.
I absolutely love that. I think that's such a great superpower and passion. It's a tough question, but it's always great to hear what people think, because part of the reason why is, you know, I want people to be able to look back and kind of understand, you know, what do they see themselves and what light, you know, do they see themselves when they look in the mirror. So, you know, as we close this out, where can our listeners find you? How do they get in touch with Lubu and Luisa? Where should they be connecting to? Instagram handles, LinkedIn? Where are we finding you at?
Well, on LinkedIn, you can just simply follow Lubu Lunch Buddies. But as we were talking about connecting and just exchanging, so you can find me, Luisa. Probably you have to look for the Lubu page, because my last name is quite difficult to remember. but you can find me under my name and just send me a request. Just meet me for a virtual cafe just to exchange and talk. I mean, I'm always open to connect. So if you would like to do that and just have a very nice talk, spontaneous talk over a virtual coffee, then I'd be very happy to.
Yeah. Well, I will make sure to put your LinkedIn link in the show notes if you want to connect. It's really easy, because El Bouyani is tough to find and spell. So I will make sure to put that in there. And then, you know, I'll also drop Tarek's in there, because I think, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk a lot about Tarek. But for those listening to this episode, you know, you think Luis is awesome, Tarek is just as awesome from a very different background, but the two of them are a dynamic duo. And Tarek is the same generosity with his time, always open to connect and have great conversations. In fact, when I think I first talked to them, it was such a good conversation. Like, Tarek was called in virtually. Luis was in the office, and we sat there for about 2 hours and had a conversation that was supposed to last like 35 minutes of the time. So they're both great and super open. So I'll make sure to drop Tarek's info in there as well. And
Absolutely. You know, maybe a fun fact, sometimes when I'm meeting people just randomly for virtual coffee, sometimes Tarek is with me as well. So you will always find us together anyway.
that's surprising. that's surprising. So if you show up to virtual coffee with one or the other, you might get both. So just be prepared.
Yeah, exactly. But sometimes I'm sending a message like, hey, would you mind? Because we're together anyway. And, you know.
Yeah.
And most of the time, it just really turns out always super great. So
I love that. You know, I think that I should start doing that with my twin, but I think I'd freak people out because I'd look on the screen and not know who is who. and then to my listeners, if you have a community that is of people or within your organization that you want to connect, Lubu is offering 3 exclusive pilot slots for pioneers in the U.S. market to level up their culture and social connectivity. So if you are interested in the U.S. market and you have a business and you would love to learn a little bit more about piloting Lubu in your company, make sure you connect with Tarek and Luisa, or you can shoot me a note. You have my contact info. I'll make the connection. But let's rally Baron Nation to see if we can't help test this product, give some great feedback for Louisa and Tarek and Lubu. Louisa, thank you so much for sharing your journey and being a part of the show here today. Tell Tarek I said hello, and we'll definitely have to bring you back, and the three of us should get together for a virtual coffee here soon.
Absolutely. We should do that. Thank you for your time. And I was very excited to be here, and I'm still very excited about re-listening when it's out there.
Well, we're excited. I will let you know once we get that rolling and get it out. And to Bear Nation, thank you for tuning in again. Until next episode, stay well. Bear Nation, once again, thank you for listening to the Bare Necessities of Entrepreneurship. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave us a review. And until next time, take care.